Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Boy, is it dangerous right now. Cavaliers lost last night to the Indiana Pacers. I'm still a little bit, I probably sounded like this at the beginning of the show. I was a little shell-shocked, to be honest with you. Trying to fight it off, but I got to tell you, man, a little bit shell-shocked.
Well,
there.
Think about the way.
Just the way it went.
When have we talked negatively about the Cavs all year? When? I mean, yeah, they had
there's
a loss.
There's nothing negative. There's been nothing.
One time, kind of, but they were on the West Coast.
They got, okay, so they had the rough stretch where they lost to Phoenix. They lost to the Clippers. But there was.
They were all 10 o'clock at night games.
And they loaded all those games together. So there was obviously fatigue. But where the Cavs had established themselves,
they
already beaten
had 50 wins at that point.
Yeah, they beaten Oklahoma City. They beaten Boston. The huge comeback against Boston. Yeah, they had one bad game this year against Oklahoma City where they got totally blown out. And it was a total weird game because I think the two bigs for Oklahoma City weren't playing. So, I don't know. It was like just a weird game. Other than that, we've been on cloud nine for this basketball team all year and deservedly so. So, I'm not going to sit here and read tweet. Like, there's a bunch of tweets. I'm not even going to give the names. Like, they're done. They're soft. Playoff Cavs.
See, I didn't get any of that.
Like, I'm getting it right now. I'm like,
of course, I wasn't tweeting last night, so maybe I was under the radar.
It is one game in the playoffs. Yes, it sucked. Yes, it was a raise your eyebrows kind of, whoa, oh boy. Okay, so the Darius stuff is making me nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like, I am.
It should.
I
that's
am.
The only thing that I think I get nervous about because you need him on the floor to at least space out of defense. Go ahead.
If he is not healthy, and it's going to play. It's not like he's going to miss the series. He's going to play. I expect him to be out there for game two. But we don't know the extent of the injury. You know, we're not really getting the ins and the outs of this. It's the playoffs. I wouldn't even, you know, part of it is you don't even want the Cavs to tell anybody. Like, you don't want, this is gamesmanship too. So he had the two games off at the end of the series against Miami. They didn't miss him in that series. Mm-hmm. And he misses this game. And plus, you know, you do wonder, like, okay, maybe he doesn't play tomorrow because they get that extra rest. But you're going to see Darius. Now you're playing with fire. Like, if he can kind of go, he's got to go, right?
Yeah.
You're not.
Well, it's the postseason.
Yeah, you can't play
damn
the
it,
odds
we've been
here.
Through this last year, and I ain't going to do it again.
And they're
if
big favorites.
Go, if you can go, you're going.
Aren't they big favorites for tomorrow? Aren't
thought
they
it was
like
9 points.
Nine and a half.
So you'd be tempted to say don't play him because of the rest, but I'm sorry. Your season's on the line. You can't go down two games to nothing. You've got to play him, right?
Yeah, 216-474-0092. So I want to ask some people, by the way, if you can, you're playing him. I want to ask some people, like, is it okay they kind of got punched in the mouth? Could that be a good thing? Because, I mean, I'm willing to say that, and I don't, you know, when you say they got punched in the mouth, it's like, oh, God, we're being negative already at the beginning. Well, yeah, we've had a lot of things that's been positive to say. I think you're right. Even at times during the regular season when things weren't so good, they were very few and far between, I think a lot of us were like, well, are you trying to fish for something that isn't there? Here, I mean, it could be a good thing that they came out there and got, they didn't get smoked, but they got beat like that and physically challenged like that. I think it could be a good thing because you're the only team. This was the only series, the series against the Heat, where it was not what you were talking about with the postseason. I don't think anybody, I don't know how many people watched the other postseason games where you were getting real physical takedown stuff going on. And then with the Cavs series, it was an extension of the regular season. Miami didn't necessarily want to be there. The Cavs were happy to blow them out of the water with the exception of the game two, which got a little tight there. But the other ones were just flat-out blowouts, and it did nothing to get us ready for a team like Indiana. Even when Darius said what he said, then he was out the next two games, and Tyler Hero couldn't do anything. So there was really nothing to glean from any of those things where there's so much other stuff to get into. I think it comes down to physicality, and I hope that this ends up being a good thing. Because as of right now, like, hey, they came out and they socked you in the face, and you're going to have to find what it takes in game two coming up tomorrow night to even that series. Or then we will be getting nervous about things.
Now, what about the analysis? And this is what we're paid the big bucks for, obviously. What about the analysis of, we're just going to shoot better next game and we'll win, and the Pacers will not shoot as well?
How are you going to free up those shots?
Yeah, well,
because if it's exact, if see, that's what I wanted to say and say everything was going to be fine. And then you're like, well, in a lot of those early, like they're selling for early shots within the possession. Okay, well, that might mean that you're flustered. And so if you're not getting good ball movement out there, like you can shoot threes, but if you're not finding the right threes, they're just going to clang and we're going to find ourselves into a problem. Like if they are stuffing you that much defensively, then yeah, then that would consider a problem. But you have to do things to get yourself open for better looks for three balls there. So, yeah, I think naturally you're going to do that better than what you did last night. My God, how could you do it any worse?
Yeah, and just look, the one thing about the Pacers is those were good looks. I mean, they're a very talented NBA team. I don't think they're on our level talent-wise. But, you know, when we don't have Darius, kind of evens things out a little bit. And they can work the ball and get those shots against a lot of teams. I mean, I've seen them do it. Their second half of the season, they were basically doing that to everybody. So that is the one thing about this. Like, I'm hesitant to say, like, I don't think they're going to shoot that well again, but I think they can shoot well.
I mean, at one point they were at 60%. I don't think they're going to shoot.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're looking, I think they could stay at a clip that's over 40. And if you're staying at a clip that's over 40, you're going to be in positions to win games in this series.
Was anybody else having nightmares of that Orlando Magic series back in the day?
No, come on. Let's not go that far.
But
anytime you play against a team that hits a bunch of threes against you in the postseason, you're going to think that. Because I remember game one of that series. Well, they're never going to shoot like this again. And then they continue to shoot like that through the rest of the series until they beat us.
That 2009?
Yeah, 09. Well, that's because that's when it originally got started about him. Yeah. Like after 07 and 08, it's like, he's never going to go. And then 09 came around. It's like, oh, we're in trouble here. Henry at Akron, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I saw that game, man. You're right. I blamed it on the Heat. The series wasn't nothing. It wasn't physical. I've been calling into this radio station. That's what I was concerned with. And on top of that, they really wasn't hitting their shots. And Indiana was hitting everything, and they was physical. So what is it going to take for the Cavaliers? Because I don't know what is going on with the Cavaliers, but they better not take this team lightly at all.
Well, how can you take a team lightly after they beat you game one in a series at home? Then no one's going to take anybody lightly now. They might have taken them lightly going into the game. I ain't going to lie to you about that. They might have been just trying to get things learned or figured out or whatever, which is probably not the way to go about it. Ain't going to lie about that. But no, they're not going to take anybody lightly for the rest of this series. And they really can't, because the next one after them would still be Boston. No one's going to take Boston lightly. Okay.
So what about how Turner was – literally, he had Allen. He pretty much owned Allen the whole game.
Well, I don't even think it was that. Henry, thank you very much for the call. I mean, you brought up a point where it put Jared Allen in a disadvantage when Tyrese Halliburton is able to draw him out so far away from the bucket. And that's going to put more pressure on anybody else inside. So it puts more pressure on Evan inside. But really what it's going to do is it's set up where you brought up Jared is a great defender. You can do a lot of things, but you bring him that far out, it's going to create opportunities and spacing for the rest of your team. And the rest of your team is hitting shots like that. That's going to create a major disadvantage if you're not able to hit your shots on the other end. You only hit, what, 8 threes last night?
Nine threes last night. They had not had a single-digit three-point output night the entire year. Think about that.
Yeah.
They had had a few tens, but nine. They were sitting there on nine. And we thought Jerome hit a three, and they end up got fouled, and they ended up waving it off. So that would have been 10. But that shows you in a nutshell. Like, they had their worst three-point shooting game of the season. And then on the other end, you give up 19 on 53% from the Pacers. It was the worst of both worlds. And that's why, with all of that said, it's why I'm not panicking, because they're sitting there with 5 minutes left. And I still thought they were going to win the game.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that is
so. There's no, guys, there's no reason to panic. You're going to go over a loss, and they need to go over a loss. Now, I think that there have been some panicky Pete's in the mentions and a little bit on the phone so far this morning, but I don't think it's been that too terribly bad from it. I think that a physical opponent like this coming out and punching you in the mouth in game one, because that's what they did. They hit their shots. They played physically. I think it could be a good thing if you turn it into a good thing. This could be the best thing for them.
So there were a couple instances yesterday where, you know, Evan Mobley had that push in the back early in the game, and you wondered, is that some acting? Are they trying to buy a flagrant, you know, on that in that situation? And then, of course, the big one was the DeAndre Hunter, right? DeAndre Hunter gets rejected at the rim. There's all sorts of contact in the chest. He ends up going down, leaves the game. They have to analyze the call and all that, go back to New York and find out. And then they come back, and to the surprise of basically everybody in the building, and I thought, I don't know how it was on the broadcast, they gave the ball to Indiana. There was no harm, no foul.
There was plenty of harm. It was a very weird sequence. Spiro Dias tried to explain it as best he could, but I think it was a weird.
Yeah, and Evan Mobley left the game too for a little bit. You wondered, like, oh my God, what's the collateral damage of all of this? But it was still a bunch of nice guys. Like, in the end, like, do you think this series gets nasty between these two teams? We saw some of that in other series.
If there's no avalanche or something like that in game two, and it's a grind out type of game like this, because you mentioned 34 minutes from Donovan Mitchell, it was a very tedious, very physical 34 minutes for him. And if it continues this way with this team, even if you were to win game two and even the series, things are going to get testy between these two clubs. 216-474-0092. Cavs got punched in the mouth yesterday. Could that be a good thing? Did get to see Lima on TV yesterday. You were looking good.
I was sitting next to Booby.
Yeah, you were.
Booby Gibson. I'm like, what am I doing here sitting next to Booby Gibson?
It was you, Booby, AC, Kaylee Griffin.
And Kaylee, yeah. Kaylee
was up there with you. You guys look good. Everybody looked good. I had to turn the volume down after a minute because I was cleaning up some things. But it wasn't because of, like, oh, I hate it. It sounded terrible. I had other things I had to talk about with Liz at the time. So I had to turn the volume down. But I heard your first couple of cut-ins there, and I thought it was a good job.
I tell you, just with the...
Did nice. Looked good.
And obviously, like, Jeff Phelps had to do this, did this forever with the fans behind you. The fans never stop asking for AC's autograph. It never stops. It never stops. So they have to have security there. And AC will sign every autograph.
That's nice. But
he's Mr. Cavalier.
But he's Mr. Cavalier. He's going to do it. But I'm telling you what happened. Afterwards, they locked the building. We couldn't get out of the building.
Oh.
And part of it was AC. He's signing autographs, and security thought that the place was cleared. They thought that there was nobody there. There were people waiting around to get his autograph.
Oh, that's nice.
So it was that part of it was absolutely incredible. And AC was like, this is kind of like what Brad Daugherty said with us on Friday. It's like, this is going to be a series. And I'm like, I don't want a long series. I don't want any of this long series.
Well, when you hear seven games, you get nervous because it's like, well, anything can happen in a game seven. And I didn't want to make that big of a deal about it because it was at 9 a.m. on a Friday, frankly. And we had one segment before coming in hot afterwards. And when he said it, he thinks it's going to be a seven-game series, like, it does make you go, okay. It's like he wants to give proper respect to the Indiana Pacers, and I think he did. And now I think after yesterday, we all have proper respect for the Indiana Pacers. I want to say this, and we'll get back to the Cavs. Did you see the report about Jerome Ford taking the pay cut?
I did.
What was your thoughts on that? Mary Kay had that report over the weekend, or on Friday, I want to say, is when Jerome Ford took the pay cut and went, oh boy. So now I know that they were working on something. I don't know what the chances are now. It doesn't seem to be very good after the pay cut.
I hate a term that I might have to use.
Okay, what's that?
As the ship sailed.
All right, we're just going to move on.
On Nick Chubb as a Cleveland Brown. I can't believe, because Kenny, you got me optimistic last week. You're like, no, they are trying to get something done.
I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up or anything. Like, someone said, you got bad sources. No, My sources are fine.
Kenny does not have bad sources.
So I'm going to tell you right now, I know that they were trying to, but there comes a point where it's going, hey, it does become, and I haven't talked to anybody since Friday, I ain't gonna lie to you, but it becomes getting close to you-know-what cutting time and thinking, all right, we got to make a decision on Jerome here. If we make this decision on Jerome and he stays, we got three guys as running backs right now. Like, and for Nick, and again, this part I'm flying blind on, I'm not going to sit there and blame the guy if he only has so many carries or he wonders, like, could this year be the last year? You don't want to think like that, but he's going to go to a team that maybe he feels is going to have a better chance to contend. And you say whatever you want to about the Chicago Bears, they're trying to contend. That's just the team that I've heard was really heavy after him. I'm sure there's other teams that are involved here.
Why would they let Jerome Ford dictate whether Nick Chubb comes back or not?
I can only think of one reason.
Injury. Possibility, the fear of aggravation with injury.
The only thing I can think of is they can say Jerome Ford could play special teams, and they're trying to optimize that. I know you're rolling your eyes like crazy.
In any world where you go, all right, Jerome, if you take this cut, then we'll keep you. But if not, we're going to get Nick Chubb. Like, just cut him and get Nick Chubb.
So Ford, the other thing Ford did bring to the table last year is he had the threat of a huge run at any time.
A home
time.
Run, yeah.
He had like five home runs last
Kansas
year.
City, yeah.
Jerome is much faster than we give him credit for. It's exactly what Lima says. There is a special teams possibility there. Now, I don't know if they're long for Jerome Ford either when you go and you get two running backs in a deep running back class.
This is Nick Chubb, though.
I understand it's Nick Chubb, and I love Nick Chubb. I'm not trying to make excuses for it. Anytime that Nick Chubb signs with another team, I think that a lot of people are going to have a problem with it. But it's just me trying to understand what some of the things are. And it could end up being a situation where, like, Kareem Hunt signs with the Chiefs and then runs for 100 yards, and we're going, well, you know what, we're wrong about that. I was fine with them moving on from Kareem Hunt. I think that a lot of us are going to have problems emotionally from them not being able to bring back Nick Chubb for whatever reason it may be. But we might get to the season, and honestly, I don't know when Nick is going to sign with anybody. I don't know how. I don't know what the timeline is, or how any team wants to bring him in. It could be a training camp thing. It could be a regular season thing with Nick.
See, now I would wonder, like, a team like that gets brought up, the Bears. Well, Nick Chubb's a great guy to have in that locker room, right? That's what I would be looking at. Like, is it worth the gamble? Like, are there other backs that, you know, are probably going to have better years, you know, because of the injury stuff with Nick? But I think that they see him for a team that has a bunch of young guys that are learning the league. I mean, who better to have than somebody like Nick Chubb in that, not just the weight room, but just in the locker room?
So Jerome Ford, with the pay cut, is certainly worth the money. What makes it bad for Nick is that in free agency, there wasn't a real big lust for running backs because they knew it was going to be a deep running back class. Your former football team, or hopefully, again, your future football team, but I'm not sure. I mean, you're using terms like ships have sailed, and maybe I'm not willing to come to grips with it. Maybe that's my problem with it. Let's be honest. But I think that when you get to this point, it's a bad.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History that doesn't suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Add year to be a free agent running back. You want to be paid what you believe you deserve, but you also want to find yourself in a position where you could also win. And I don't know if those things all match up. And it could be a spot where he may be somebody goes down because they're all going to go younger. They're all going to bet on youth. They're all going to bet on their scouting and bringing guys in. And if Nick, I don't know what price he's demanding, but if he believes he's worth something and his agent thinks he's worth something, then they may be comfortable waiting around until training camp to sign something. I mean, I guys, again, he's very quiet. I wish I could tell you I have zero clue on when he's going to sign. But it's starting to look like some of the tea leaves would look towards, hey, the Browns with the Jerome Ford thing, you got three guys in your running back room now that you're thinking of. And then when you look elsewhere, maybe it does become a regular season thing with him.
Do you know
or training camp.
The biggest contract that's been given out to a running back here in free agency, Najee Harris, five and a half million. Like,
yeah,
that's the market. Like, you're right. They were going to wait for the draft. All these teams are going to wait for the draft.
Yeah.
And now you sort through it. And I mean, the names, it's been a bad list. And, you know, what kind of offers could be out there?
You know, last year wasn't as great of a class. Guys got snapped up very quickly, got a little bit more money. That is a position where, like, quarterback doesn't matter. If you're at any possibility of being good, you're going to get paid. I think wide receiver in so many ways, at least with the first contract, can be the same way. With running back, gosh, they're always looking for reasons not to pay you. And I think running back has become more important here over the last couple of years, especially with our dearth at quarterback. But they're going to find every single possible way, and they're going to look at 21 years old versus 28 years old, and they're going to go that way. And I think it leaves Nick on the outside looking in with this situation and with a lot of other situations. I don't think it's over, but I think that he might be looking at camp and then after that, maybe early season, mid-season if somebody goes down. Unless you disagree with that. If not, I'm going to get back to the Cavs here.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at. I also wanted the Jerome Ford thing. I mean, I looked. He had last year the 66-yard run against the Bengals. Oh, and he had the 62-yard run against Kansas City. He had a couple in the 30s, you know, earlier in the year, and then catches the ball out of the backfield, too.
He's just.
Do you wonder if that's part of it, too, that Chubb has just never been a guy that catches the ball?
I don't think they've ever given
a
chance to. It wasn't like he's fumbled it around or anything. They just really haven't run anything for him except with a couple of plays.
I'll never understand because that is such a weapon in the NFL to have a back that can also go out and do that.
216-474-0092. Cavs lost yesterday to the Indiana Pacers. At least this is one silver line I'm always looking for. At least this stupid Ty Jerome argument is going to go away. At least after game one, I think it's dead forever now. It should be dead for. It won't be dead forever because it's Darius Garland. But at least this Ty Jerome argument goes away for a little bit. And I don't got to worry about that because they do need Darius Garland. How big of a loss is Darius Garland on this basketball team, Tone? Before I go to these phones, because I'm going to ask these people the same thing.
Hey, when I saw Ty Jerome get the 8-second violation and they had some. They had some trouble against pressure. It was a lot of stuff, like, kind of, you know, in the playoffs, you don't see full court presses, right? That's just not something you can do because every guard can basically beat that the way that the NBA players can handle the ball. But they were physical picking up full court. And I think that wears on you over time when you don't have your normal standard prototypical point guard. Like, yeah, Donovan Mitchell can do that. Now you're wearing him out. If Donovan Mitchell has to see a guy in his grill 90 feet from the basket, and you're already tasking him at getting to the hoop and exposing the lack of interior defense that the Pacers have, now you're just asking so much from him, not to mention what Donovan has to do on the other end. You notice Donovan was picking guys up three quarters court and was getting in the face to try to disrupt Halliburton from time to time. Now you're wearing a guy out. That's why 34 minutes for Donovan felt like 40 minutes.
Jeff in University Heights, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Lima, to your point about not wanting a long series, they better win Tuesday or you're going to get your wish. But here's how I see it. So first half, Indiana with the five wide, especially with their pushing the pace, no pun intended at all, made it difficult for the Cavs to get their defense set. That's why you saw Indiana get so many open looks from the three-point line. So they're going to have to correct that somehow. I don't know if it's picking up full court. I don't know if it's double teaming Halliburton and, until he gets over the half court line. But that's an adjustment that has to be made. Also, it was unusual last night. When have you seen this season? You could probably count on one hand the number of times you saw two guys take 50 shots, where Donovan had 30 and Ty Jerome had 20 shots, where I think they went away from Mobley, especially in the fourth quarter. He only got one look. You know, Mobley had 20 and 10. Mobley was having a really good game, and then all of a sudden, he's not seeing the ball.
Jeff, it's like you got my sheet in front of me of things I wanted to get to, and I never have sheets. Kenny, you can attest,
no,
I never
doesn't.
Have sheets.
Now he has sheets.
I have a sheet.
Guy goes on TV, now all of a sudden he has notes and sheets and everything.
Gotta have
like
a sheet.
That. It's amazing.
13 field goal attempts. And at no point did I think they could really, you know, make a difference in stopping Evan. Like, I thought Evan could get around guys. I thought Evan was comfortable with his dribble last night.
Right.
I want to see more.
Right. And this matchup concerned me from the beginning. That's why I was really rooting for Milwaukee. I found it laughable last week about Cavs in five. Maybe they'll sweep. Indiana is the kind of team that presents the Cavs problems, that presented them problems during the regular season, the long, athletic, team with athletic wings that have a lot of speed on the perimeter. And that's the team that gives the Cavs a matchup problem. So, you know, this is really going to test their will now, because this is the first time all year where they've had any adversity at all. And this is the first time ever this season where they were presented with a must-win, because Tuesday is must-win.
Yes.
You go down 2-0, that's it.
Yes. Jeff, thank you very much for the call. Let me get to Derek in Cleveland. Derek, you're next up on the Fan.
How y'all doing today?
Good. Doing well, Derek. Go ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to mention like two to three things. First thing, I don't think this is the series for Jared Allen. And the reason I say that is because he's such a pure center that he wants to help every time down low, which leaves it open for Indiana to move on the perimeter like they was doing. So I think Jared Allen should play less. And I also agree with the previous caller about Evan Mobley. I think in the fourth quarter we should look to him more, because he was being real dominant in the paint, and I think that would have slowed the game down for us.
Yes.
Going against Indiana. And also, with Darius Garland being out, it takes away from us having another ball handler coming down the court. So when they was pressuring us 84 feet, having Ty Jerome, he's not a true ball handler. So therefore, they were able to bring that pressure. But once Darius Garland come back, I think it will open up more, because he's able to break that pressure of that full court press that they was giving us.
Derek, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. I want to answer to that when we come back. And how big of a loss is Darius Garland, especially if he's not able to go tomorrow night? It's DeAndre Hunter yesterday. Weird foul that went down that I'm still trying to figure out what's going on.
I thought he was done for the playoffs. You have those? You ever have the snap judgment, snap reactions where you see a guy go down?
Yes.
Jared Allen had one earlier in the game where he went down.
Yes.
And I was like, oh boy, because he had this awesome, awesome throwdown, Dwight Howard-esque throw dunk earlier. And then Hunter goes up, well, and it's blocked at the top. And it was an amazing defensive play, except for that he got fouled in the chest and got thrown to the ground.
Well, the weird thing, like, Twitter action is brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. 7:45 and 36 seconds for those scoring at home. Eric says, Ken, stop the tired narrative about getting physically whipped. We dominated the paint. We just missed shots. When the players themselves are talking about how physical the Pacers were and how they were more physical than they thought they might have been, I'm sorry, that's a talking point. So you getting physically surprised by it, yeah, that's going to be a talking point for everybody. Yeah, they missed shots too. That's what sucked about it as well. Not only did you get physically beat, you also missed shots. Neither is going to lead to a win. The only good thing is that it was closer. It wasn't just a beatdown where you look and you say, geez, where are we going to start with this? There was a lot of things there that I think that, yeah, you're going to have to get tougher. And I think that naturally is going to happen, because it's not Miami, where Miami was on cruise control just waiting to get out of the season. You are naturally going to be tougher. You sit up in your chair a little bit more. And then here, you can't, I mean, good God, 9 of whatever it was for 23%. You're not going to do much worse than that. So I imagine the only thing is you're going to have to close out a bit on on Indiana because they can't be shooting nearly 60% for part of that game until they finally cooled off a little bit and still shot for over 52% in this game on last night. So there's obviously some things that they could do that they could get better with, the Indiana Pacers. There's obviously a lot of things there that you have. So it's not about freaking out. Like, you guys are no one's freaking out. Callers aren't freaking out, I think. I don't think either of us are freaking out so far. I can't say anything for Baskin and Phelps or Jonathan and Nick or Jake Volnick at the end. That's up to them. It's not about freaking out. It's about calling it what it is. Physically, the Indiana, they brought a sledgehammer with them. And you have to answer for that coming up in game two. It's that simple. And I think there's something missing when you don't have Darius Garland, because Darius Garland is a threat that's able to space the floor. How much do we miss Darius Garland, or how big of a loss was Darius Garland for this? Because it seems that he's going to be pretty hell-bent on playing on Tuesday night.
Well, it feels like because you lost that game, he kind of has to play. Not that they can't beat him without him, but, man, you can't face the prospect just because you're trying to buy him rest.
You don't want to say 0-2.
Yeah, you just can't. They already have to win for the next six, you know, with the Pacers stealing home court at this point, regardless of what happens in this game, too. So what I'm wondering about is, like, what is that going to be like? The way that he plays, Darius, what is that going to be like? Because we don't really know the extent of the injury. And I can't blame the Cavs in this case. Like, in the regular season, we jump on all the teams for not giving us information because we want to know. We want to evaluate these things so we can not sound like idiots and make predictions. Then we find out, oh, guy is in way worse shape or better shape, and we didn't know. In this case, it's the playoffs. Like, the Cavs don't owe us anything. It's because it's gamesmanship. You don't want them to give the playbook to the Pacers whatsoever. But the way Darius plays, can he get up and down the floor at this breakneck pace with his injury? I just don't know.
I don't know if he can for an entire game. I think that that's where Ty Jerome is going to still be important. I don't want to just dump all over Ty Jerome and say he's a bad basketball player and he's never going to be good to us again. He's going to be good to you again, but damn it, you need Darius Garland on this team. And if he shows any sort of a burst, it's going to hold defenders off of Donovan Mitchell. It's going to hold defenders off everybody else, and it's going to make them play a cleaner game of basketball. That's what we have to be worried most about. It's not just about the shooting or about star power or any of the other stuff. Like, you depend on Donovan to dig you out of any hole or stop any threat because he's the number one player on this team with a bullet. That's what we expect out of Donovan Mitchell. But for Darius, it's about fulfilling his role, creating an offense for everybody else, knowing what sets to run, knowing what to do at the right given time. That's what a starting point guard, an all-star point guard in this league does. And if he's not able to be out there on the floor, yeah, you're going to run yourself into a little bit of a problem. And they ran themselves into a bit of a problem yesterday. That's why they lost the game. So for Darius, you know, my issue was, yeah, I saw that he had the full practice beforehand. I go, man, are we trying to tell ourselves, because I'm sure he's tired of being called weak, 6'2", you know, that type. I'm not saying he's a weak person, but when you're in the NBA and guys know that they can slap you around and push you around and he's just not that big of a guy, yeah, it's going to come off that way. I think he's tired of hearing that stuff. And I wonder, man, did he try to push it too much to make sure that he was able to go for game one? And then he wakes up yesterday morning and is like, this ain't happening. I mean, he's a full participant in practice. You thought that he was going to play on Sunday night.
Yeah, so they said there was he wasn't doing the physical stuff. And then pregame, Rick Carlisle's like, oh, make no mistake. Like, Darius is going to play in this game. So it was a big mystery. So they did. They kept it a secret. And even the Pacers didn't know what was going to happen. So this is going to be really tough to navigate now, especially when you're down one. It would have been another thing if they were up one because there's some margin for error. You lose some of that.
So what do you do with Darius tomorrow? I mean, going into the blind, yeah, I mean, what do you do?
You got to play him and see how effective he is. Because I imagine at the very least, he's going to be able to shoot. You know, if he might not be able to, like, the step back crazy threes might not be there, but still catch and shoot.
What is he going
to
do?
You'd like to think he can still do
what
that.
What is he going to do with ball pressure? I mean, you got Ty Jerome with the 8-second violation, but what's he going to be able to do with the ball pressure if he's hobbling around?
I still think he's going to be able to do a little better job than what I saw yesterday, but it's not something I'll know until I see it.
You think he's going to be able to cut and all that off of this? It's a big toe, right?
You watch how those guys were running around yesterday. It never stopped.
Because it's going to take all that to get up the court 8 seconds. I mean, if they do the same thing that they did last night, he's not going to be able to push off of that thing if he's not 100%, right?
Yeah, I think, but if you're Rick Carlisle, it's exactly what you guys just talked about. It's, you're going to come out, establish ball pressure from the very beginning, and make him beat you. Like, that's what's going to have to happen in game two if you're Rick Carlisle. So you know what's coming. Can he physically get past that? Here's Jared Greenberg on the injury yesterday on TNT.
Darius Garland dealing with a frustrating injury, a sprain of his left big toe, which is keeping him out for a third straight game, an injury that requires rest to heal. The good news, I've been told, is there's no structural damage. However, Garland continues to battle significant swelling and pain. He will remain day-to-day and could play in Game 2 on Tuesday. In fact, he just came out into the court. I talked to him briefly, and he feels confident he will be able to play Tuesday. However, if this was the regular season, Garland would likely be shut down for another week to 2 weeks to stay off of the toe. This injury described to me as a major burden for a shifty point guard who needs to push off with confidence.
Who described that to him? I want to know. It'd be one thing if it's just some guy, some podiatrist out there who had to say this.
It's a Twitter podiatrist?
Yeah, right. If it's like somebody within the Cavs organization, I'd be a little worried.
If he's still dealing with swelling, and it's been how long, and he's still dealing with swelling, you think he's going to be ready to go tomorrow night?
I think he's going to get a shot. He's going to get a shot, and he's going to try to give her a go tomorrow night. That's what that's going to be. And I fear that it's probably going to be worse after tomorrow night's game. Hopefully they just come out of it with a win. You know, I don't know what else to do. I know that, again, his frame is not that big. I'm trying to be nice about it, but I think it's frustrating for him. Got a lot of delicate muscles in there, a lot of delicate ligaments in a toe. I don't know much about a toe, man.
I joked last week.
Mitch, get a toe guy on the show.
He knows what people say about him. There's no way on earth he wouldn't be out there if he could be out there. So I believe every single word of what they're saying.
One of the most treacherous things that have ever happened to me was a hotel room incident that involved me stubbing my toe. And I was on crutches.
You ever have an ingrown toenail removed?
No.
Oh, it's the real deal. That's real pain, brother. They try to do what they can to numb you up. Nah, you're going to still feel something. I've had that done. No fun at all. So I can't imagine what a sprained toe's like, because it sucks.
This is so annoying.
This little piggy put on street clothes. He'll be back out for game two, guys. He'll be on the floor for game two. He'll be out there for game two. Yeah, don't got to worry about that. Well, we'll still ask Dana Cunningham about that coming up at 9 o'clock, because I ain't no doctor.
Giving me some sort of guarantee on
that. I'm just basically saying, oh, yeah, he'll be out there. Yeah, don't you worry about that.